Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, I wanted to talk about negotiation. This podcast series is about challenging the status quo and doing things that other people don't do. And a lot of us feel really awkward when it comes to negotiation. We love to have an agent or a middleman, but even then we feel awkward making offers, don't we? We think, what if they laugh at us? What if it's too low? And in the interest of politeness, we sometimes pay tens, thousands, even six figures more than we need to. So let's have a look at what's really going on there. Because once you become a master negotiator, you have an edge in everything that you do. And all property at some point is going to come down to your negotiation skills. There are two types of negotiation. One is called distributive negotiation, and that's win-lose. So for me to win, someone else has to lose. And then there's integrative negotiation, which can be a win-win. It means that there are other opportunities to create value, usually over and above price, because price is distributive. Think of a used car salesman. Every dollar I negotiate off the car is a loss to him. Every dollar that he gets out of me is a loss to me and a win to him. So distributive negotiations are like a tug of war. And often when we negotiate, we just think in property, we're talking about price. But there are other opportunities to create value when you look at it from an integrative point of view. Price isn't always the issue. One really favorable factor, and we've had so many students get deals for a lot less than bidders and prospects who would have paid more, because they negotiate on an unconditional basis. What that means is that it is done and dusted. There's no subject to clauses. It's not, well, it depends if I get finance. There's no cooling off period. It's not subject to pest and building. It is a done deal, and there's no way to get out of the contract. Sellers love certainty. Sellers hate when a buyer comes along, and in many states, they have a contract with a period of 2 weeks or more where it's subject to the seller getting finance or subject to the seller getting a satisfactory building and pest report. What that means is that the seller is effectively taking the property off the market, stalling their sales campaign without certainty of a sale. The deck of cards is stacked in favor of the buyer, and the buyer at any time in those 2 weeks can get out of the contract. So if you want to give the seller some certainty so that their deal is done and dusted and their property is sold and it's all final, as if it's an auction, then you can exchange contracts and make an unconditional offer. And more often than not, that will be accepted over a higher offer that's subject to lots of contingencies, because sellers want certainty. So your negotiation pawns needn't be just dollars and cents. It can be the certainty and the confidence and the boldness of your offer. The other thing in an integrative negotiation that you can play around with is the time value of money. So sometimes you can pay more, but you can have a term in your contract for a longer settlement. So slightly higher price, but maybe a 6 month or a 12 month settlement. And then more special conditions in the contract that during that period of 6 or 12 months of the long settlement, you can put plans through council. It means you're not hemorrhaging money and holding costs while you're dealing with red tape, and you can get all your ducks in a row. Because we look at other ways of acquiring properties off market, another popular choice is deceased estates. So deceased estates are where the owner has died, they've passed the property to their next of kin, but there is a court process that goes along with that. And that can take 6 months or more. Meanwhile, beneficiaries, those who are to inherit under the will, would like some certainty without having to do work and heavy lifting. So some tools that you can use in your negotiation tactics are, for example, to take the property as is. Doesn't have to be cleaned up. They don't have to empty out furniture. You'll take it with everything that's in it and you'll do the cleanup. That's great for renovators and that's worth a lot to a seller. So, few things that you can have up your sleeve when it comes to integrative negotiation. Other opportunities to create value where it's a win-win and the price is less important. So distributive negotiations have win-win outcomes. The motivation is joint and individual gain, not just a tug of war of opposed interests. The relationship can be longer or it can be short term. Often, if you're serious as a property entrepreneur, you don't want to burn any bridges or step on people's toes. So to negotiate with transparency and integrity becomes important, especially not to just crash and burn bridges with people, but to keep other relationships intact, because multi-party negotiations may often involve agents. And if you're specializing in a certain area and a suburb, your agents can be an integral part of your property business. They're going to bring you leads. They'll bring you off-market opportunities. They're like your bird dog to find you deals. So you want to take care of them as well and have a reputation that's going to stand the test of time in your industry. There are often multiple issues involved in an integrative negotiation. It's not just about price. And there are trade-offs. The seller is quite flexible when you use integrative tactics, and creative solutions are possible. Now, all of this depends on your counterpart in the negotiation. So frame it up, take control. We all are pack animals as human beings and we respect the alpha. So what we respond to, and it's one of the tools of influence, if you've read Robert Cialdini's Influence, is authority. We respond to authority or the alpha. And the same applies in negotiation. We tend to go along with the party who is the most confident, who knows the most, who's done their research, and who takes control of the proceedings. So that should be you in a negotiation. What you'll want to do then is be prepared. Frame up the negotiation on the day and say, let's do it with transparency. I can be very flexible. What's important for me is to know what is important for you. If you're going through an agent, ask lots of questions. Why are they selling? Are they flexible? Is time an issue? Would they consider a longer settlement? Get all of the information to get your ducks in a row. The party with the most information will win in a negotiation every time. So ask lots of questions and ask what they call non-leading questions. So non-leading questions, at least in law, when you're examining a witness, are questions that don't suggest an answer. Open-ended questions. So they start with who, what, why, where, when, or how. And that means that the person answering the question has scope to answer in any way they want. You're not influencing the answer. Leading questions tend to be more rhetorical. You're selling because you have to, aren't you? Making an assumption. So there's a place for leading questions, but it's not when you're gathering your information. When you're gathering your information, you're wanting to get as much as possible. You're wanting to say to the seller, yes, go on, tell me more, and then what? Not closing them off, because there may be information in there that you don't even know is useful. And how can you create value for the other party when you don't have enough data? Knowledge is power and data is the new gold. So we have made it our mission at the DG Institute to empower people to create wealth and then more than wealth, freedom through property. One of the ways we do that is by sharing up-to-the-minute information on how to do just that, create financial freedom through property. If you'd like to learn how to buy undervalued properties from motivated sellers in this market right now, then we'd like to invite you to attend our free Real Estate Rescue webinar. To access this, please go now to www.dginstitute.com.au/go. You're going to learn so much, so you won't want to miss this. And for any other questions you might have around property, and actually for all of your property needs, please visit our website at dginstitute.com.au. Once you've got all your information, there's a few key terms to consider. One is your BATNA. BATNA, from Harvard Negotiations, stands for the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. So your BATNA isn't your walk away price. Your BATNA is getting yourself disconnected from the negotiation, because sometimes in property, we can get too excited. We get emotional about a purchase and then we make silly decisions because of something known as confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is when you hold a certain belief, sometimes an emotional belief, like this is the best house ever, I've got to get it at all costs. And then we cherry pick data, we cook our own books to support our feelings. So we tend to trick ourselves. We'll say, oh, this is a really great area. Properties are going to go up 20%. I can afford to pay 20% more for this. And we influence ourselves without even knowing that we're doing it because we're backing it with data. It feels objective. It's just that we're selective about the data that we're choosing and the data that we're relying on. We put more weight on information that favors the outcome that we desire, which is buying the house. So we need to diffuse that. Good way to do it is to have a BATNA. A BATNA is, okay, if this deal doesn't come off, not every negotiation is going to be the right one for me. So if this isn't the right one and I have to walk away, what next? And it looks at the opportunity cost. So there are other deals you could do. If this one doesn't work, then you'll look at three more properties, or you'll put offers in on the one round the corner or whatever. It broadens your scope and your frame of reference so that you're not single-minded and emotionally attached to an outcome in the negotiation. Because when you've got skin in the game and it's personal, we sometimes don't make the right decisions. So we work out, if this deal doesn't go ahead, what's our plan B? And then we're not emotionally connected to it. The other important term to note is your reservation price. So that's the least favorable point at which you'll do the deal. That's your walk away, basically. That's your line in the sand. Another term is your ZOPA. That's zone of possible agreement. So it's what the most you will pay for the property, and it's the least that the seller will take for a property. So if the seller's lowest point and your highest point overlap, that's the zone of possible agreement. If the seller's bottom line and your top line still have a lot of distance between them, then you're too far apart. There's no zone of possible agreement, but that gap can be bridged by other opportunities to create value. So maybe it's the case that you can ask for more from a seller and you'd be prepared to pay more for that. Maybe if they include something in the sale, or if they give you more time, that time value of money. And you'll often be able to create value through various trade-offs. That's the idea of an integrative negotiation. So let's put all that together in chronological order. First up, determine what's a satisfactory outcome in the negotiation. What would work for you? That means in property, what's your end game? What's your exit strategy? Do your feasibility, work out your numbers, work them out backwards. If you want to have a $50,000 profit, but you have to pay for a renovation and you have to pay your stamp duty, what is the most you can pay for that property and still preserve a $50,000 profit for you when you resell it? And once you've worked out all those numbers, that's your satisfactory outcome. Identify where you could create value. Say to yourself, well, I might pay a bit more if they give me a longer settlement and I can get plans through council in that time. Identify your own BATNA and your reservation price. If you don't do this deal, what else can you do? And where's your walk away point for this one? And then have a think about the counterparty to the negotiation. What would they take? If there's an agent, think about things like, hey, the property's been on the market a long time. The agent will be scared to lose the listing by now. They're probably trash talking the property to the seller. The seller may be getting scared now because it's been out on the market for so long. What time of year is it? Is it Christmas? Do they want to close off a deal this side of Christmas and not have it on the market going into the new year, just wasting time and money? Think about all those sorts of things. Put yourself in the seller's shoes or the agent's shoes if you're going through a counterpart and form an alliance there. Think about what's in it for them and try and work out their BATNA and their reservation price. You may say their reservation price is X dollars because you know the house next door has sold for similar. So start to pick that apart. Why is this one different? Because if their price next door is right, is that not market value? So why is your reservation price different? Have a think about your position versus their position, in other words. Revisit your BATNA, go back to it and see if you can improve it. Are there other options that you have? The more options that you have, the less attached you are to a deal, the more commercial you'll be about it, the thicker your skin will be. And then when you're actually in the negotiation, talk to the alpha. Remember, who has authority? Who's the decision maker here? Because you don't want to give away too much information when all parties aren't present. You don't want to leave someone or let them leave someone at home. You want to leave someone at home. I love it, leaving my husband at home, going out and saying, great, give me all your information. And then I could say, okay, I have to discuss that with my husband. I don't have to give them anything or show my cards. I can keep my powder dry and get some space and time to think about how to play it and what my counter offer would be. Similarly, you don't want to give them all that information and then let them say, well, I have to talk about it and I have to think about it. I have to talk to my wife. So that's where the pre-frame comes into it. What you want to say is, and frame up the actual negotiation when you meet face to face, we're really motivated to do a deal today. We're going to lots of auctions. We're seeing different properties, but for this property, we'd love it if we could be collaborative, if we could share the most information so that we can have the most favorable deal for both of us. And if that's the case, we can move very, very quickly or whatever. Don't say you can move quickly if you can't, but you get the idea. And prepare to be flexible in the process. So don't be too rigid because you're only working off the information that you have. And if it's a multi-phase negotiation, a bit of back and forth, you're going to get more information as you go along. And you're going to say, wow, I thought they'd take that. Why is time so important to them? Why can't they wait and have a longer settlement? Better explore that a bit further. And the more information you have, the more empowered that you'll be to have give great offers and create great value. And also, get objective third-party information. So RP Data is a great place if you're a member of that. And if you're not, go to our website and look at getting an RP Data package because it's such a powerful tool. And it gives you objective market data. So you can say to a seller, that's not me, that's the market. These are all the sales and you have all the information at your fingertips. Information is power. So you want to set a positive tone at the start. You want to be the authority, you want to be in control of the negotiation, and then you want to monitor carefully the process. What you want to do in an integrative negotiation is get a lot of information and then make creative offers. If it's distributive, if you just shut down and you're told it's price and nothing else matters and it's a standard contract, which may happen in other distress situations, for example, liquidations or winding up of companies or where a third party is selling the property, maybe a deceased estate, the solicitor handling it may say, nope, we just want a sale, all we care about is buyer's price. We don't want you emptying the house or anything. We want a 6-week settlement. That's the end of it. So if it is distributive, then tactically you don't want to give away information and you want to make firm, fast offers. It's not about sharing information and having a friendly co-creation of an outcome. It's more about being able to play your cards close to your chest. And make sure you actively listen. So encourage, when you're gathering information, the seller or the agent to give you more and more information. Ask lots of questions. The person asking questions is the person controlling the conversation. You don't want to have questions asked of you, and you don't want to be cross-examined. Agents will often do that because they're wanting to control the conversation. So they'll say, how long have you been looking for? What's your budget? Have you already got your finance been pre-approved? You want to deflect that. You want to say, yes, I can move fast. I'm for the right property. I'm happy to pay the right amount. So tell me about this one. How long's it been on the market? Why are they selling? Are they flexible? Those sorts of questions. You want to be the one asking the questions. And if you're dealing directly off market with the homeowner, you want to gain information and listen very carefully. Take notes, say to them, do you mind if I take notes? And then at the end, you can review and say, so if I've understood right, and repeat it to them. What's important to you is X, Y, Z. People love to be heard. There's so much that comes with listening. Studies have shown that people like people who listen to them, who talk less. You think about it. The worst punishment we can give is solitary confinement. And the greatest reward, where the big bucks are just listening. Psychiatrists charge a fortune to have people just lie on the lounge and tell them information. People love sharing. And what does a good counselor or psychiatrist do? Asks questions. They say, how's that working out for you? Tell me more. Okay, why do you think that is? They never really jump in and give answers. They just ask questions without offering opinions. So that's what you should be doing when you're gathering all your information. Now, in terms of making the first offer, it's the jury's out on that. Some people say you have to make the first offer because that's taking control of the negotiation. And indeed, studies have shown that the person who makes the first offer, the negotiation usually ends up closest to what they call that starting point, the anchor. So where they throw out the anchor is a stabilizing force and corrals the negotiation closer to that first offer. But the other view is if you don't really have enough information, how do you know that where you are and if you're wide of the mark? What if you're offering too much? If you're really unsure, especially if it's an off-market deal, you want to ask lots of questions. And if you don't know, you can invite the other party and you can say, without saying, well, make me an offer or put something to me, you can say, what were you kind of thinking for? What were you thinking of? And what was your reasoning behind that? How did you get to that figure? You can even ask questions about the figure. Now, other people will say, why would you do that? It's like putting a blank check or your wallet in the middle of the table and saying, take out of it what you want. But you would be so surprised that sometimes people don't want as much as what you're expected. So you're looking at the world through your own lens. And if you're serious about property and you're out there and you're pounding the pavement and you're looking online and you're seeing lots of properties, you may actually have expectations that are warped. If you've missed out at auction 10 times and you're thinking, I have to get this one, you may have overestimated the market or this particular seller's needs. So abandon your own lens or frame of reference and just ask really great questions. And when you have all the information and you're ready to move, make a bold and confident offer. So the most successful negotiations occur when they're integrative, when there's opportunity to create value, when you have the most information and you've asked all the questions and extracted everything, and when you can make bold, decisive moves, unconditional offers, firm offers with time frame, and when you act with certainty. So that's it for negotiations, but we have an amazing online course with modules in it to step you through the negotiation process. So if you go to our website, dginstitute.com.au, you can get our free negotiation course there, or we'll post the link to the negotiation course in the description to this podcast. And for any other information and all your property needs, please visit our website, dginstitute.com.au, because we've got a lot of other giveaways that can support you on your property journey. Things like negotiation, mental toughness. We've got a lot of mini courses there that can get you in the right space to hit the ground running when it comes to property acquisition. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.